live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 321, here on a Wednesday night. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. We join momentarily with my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. We had audio issues last week with Blog Talk. Looks like this week they kind of got their stuff figured out. So we'll be talking this and that tonight. We've got a lot going on. We've got World Series, the baseball. It's going to be starting later this week. We've got the NFL, obviously, going on. We've got college football going on. We've got the NBA started up last night. We got the Pacers' first game tonight. So all that and more. We got my co-host here, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing just fine, man, adjusting to this, you know, brisk fall weather. Indianapolis has, man. Brandon, how you doing, man? I know we got a tall order tonight, man. I do appreciate you, you know, saying, adjusting in the, you know, saying in the moment, man. But like, man, I know we got a tall order now. We got to talk NBA, NFL. We also have Tater calling in about 7:50. I do believe, kind of go over to some picks, man. I know it was a rough week. We also have a special guest tonight, man. I know we had technical difficulties last weekend. And yeah, last Tuesday, y'all. And we didn't necessarily get to have our special guest kind of call in. So Hall of Famer, Debbie Walker Iverson. I know I jacked up her name. So when she calls in, she's going to probably correct me, Brad. Sorry. So hey, Hall of Famer from Mizzou Basketball. He's going to call in and tap in with us, man, tonight around about 8:30, man. Just thought, you know, say a short 15 minutes because I know time is critical, you know what I'm saying, with our show time. And, you know, say she's actually on West Coast time. So she's going to tap in with us, man. You know what I'm saying, we're going to be able to, you know, to ask her about a little bit about her, you know what I'm saying, her background, upbringing, you know what I'm saying, as to how she got to Mizzou and all that. And then, like, you know what I'm saying, how she moves in her city, man. Like, dude, man, she's like an ambassador. You know what I'm saying, in Seattle area, man, you know what I'm saying, where she lives at, man. So, yeah, that's at 8:30, man. But, like, look, Brad, I know, you know what I'm saying, your mind is, you know what I'm saying, we've been texting back and forth all this weekend, man. So, like, where do you really want to start first off?
Yeah, we'll dive right in. we'll go NFL. John, check your phone. I shot you a text right before the show started.
Okay.
So, and then we can kind of go on the fly with that. But, yeah, I want to go right into the NFL Week 7 recap. Indianapolis Colts, local team here in the state. Indianapolis Colts beat the Miami Dolphins. It was not pretty, but they got the job done. Colts win. They move, I believe, 3-3, I think, now is their record overall. So two wins in a row. They beat the Titans and then also beating the Dolphins 16-10. Colts are looking good. Richardson, not so good. A lot of people, there were some Colts fans calling for, hey, let's just sit him and keep going with Flacco. 10-24, 129 yards, quarterback rating of 59. He did have 14 carries for 56 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Colts get the win, though. That's the most important thing with those injuries. And it looks like we're going to start having some guys possibly coming back later this week.
Yeah, man, they got to still be in you know what I'm saying, with this team, man, they're glad to get a win because that's what you're in of the NFL. But, you know what I'm saying, all our odds are still on Anthony Richardson, and, you know what I'm saying, can he be the next great quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, man? Still a lot of, you know what I'm saying, things that kind of remains to be seen with that. So, I would say, you know, say they take their dub and move on. You know what I'm saying? Be honest with you. I know other folks are gonna be kind of critical of, like, you know what I'm saying, I guess they want to see more out of Anthony Richardson. I don't necessarily gonna see more in the run dynamic. I don't necessarily gonna see that until Jonathan Taylor gets out there with him to make that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've seen the highlights for any of the highlights when Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson made a fool out of Tampa Bay. You know what I'm saying? This past, you know what I'm saying? This other, you know what I'm saying? What was that, Monday? Yeah, they made a fool.
Yeah, Monday night.
Man. So, You know what I'm saying? So if that is like division of, you know what I'm saying, a high power dynamic, quarterback and running back, then we're not necessarily going to see the best version of Anthony Rich just yet. And I know that's not making no excuse. That's just what it is, man, because he still has the accuracy issues, with or without John Taylor being there. So I get
right.
Everybody, but, it'll get better, when JT gets after.
Yeah, Colts, big one this week. They are going to Houston to take on the Texans for the second time. They're one game back in the division currently with Houston. It's a chance to make some noise down there, but, I mean, Houston's had your number now for 2 years, so I don't have a lot of faith when they go down there later this for this Sunday for the game. Current spread, just for everybody wondering, is Houston Texans -5 currently.
Man, you got that cocky enough, man, to start talking about what you're going to do and must wins and like that.
Right.
You want to, maintain, above water, your 500 status, man. So if they can, special teams didn't look that, I'm trying to stop not necessarily talking about the over particular quarterback. Everybody knows where that is at, right? But like special teams didn't look too shabby this past weekend, that's what's going to kind of be needed playing against the Texans, man. I think the Texans are a little bit more offensively. I don't necessarily have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure the Texans is averaging more per game per offense, and they know who they're solidified the quarterback. So there's and I'm not saying he's Stroud's perfect by any imagination, but
right.
So, they got a pretty solid defense, even though there's been a game or two where they kind of got blown out. So it's not necessarily like the Texans are unbeatable when you kind of put everything together. So you have to go down there, not with the idea of not get blown out, nothing like that. But, like, man, you got Richardson can't put it on the turf. They definitely can't be serving up to the other team, man. I'll be honest with you, they can kind of control those two things, man. They got a chance. They got a shot against the Texans.
Yeah. Scott K says, what about my GD Lions? Lions win 31-29 over the Vikings. Both teams are 5-1.
They got to make a move. The Lions got to make a move, don't they? I mean, you got to put the win. The win was a great win, right? Especially coming off, But they got to make a move. They lost Hutchinson, and, I don't think they can get no Miles Garrett type of swing to come through there. But, could a Max Crosby help out the Lions? I don't know. Would that make sense?
Raiders said they need to trade him. Hell or high water before they trade him, they said. So,
hey, all right.
That's a lot, right? That's a lot. Losing Hayden Hutchinson, that was a huge loss there. But going on the road against a team like the Vikings, who is surprised Ireland's of the world right now, and upsetting them there at their place. Gibbs, 116 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. St. Brown with 112 yards receiving. They still, I'm sorry, people are going to be upset. They still need a number 2 wide receiver, I think. I know right now you've got LaPorta in there. You're throwing balls to Gibbs and Montgomery. I know Raymond had a touchdown. I mean, but right now your number 2 technically would be like either Raymond or Patrick. I mean, you got to make a trade. I mean, look what the Chiefs are doing. My God, now they lose Schuster. They lose 2 other guys to injuries, and then they go out here and trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I'm not saying Hopkins is going to be like this missing piece. Oh, my God. The dude's obviously got problems himself because he can't stay in a locker room. So he's jumped team to team to team. So I think it'll make it work with Patty Mahomes and them. I think it will, but you've got to go out and try to get that piece. I've been bitching about my Steelers trying to go out and get a second piece for a wide receiver out there. They didn't get Ayuk. They didn't get Hopkins. Now they're in the mix for possibly a Cooper Kupp from the Rams. But you got to go out there and get another piece. That way they're not going to be loading the box when it comes playoff time there on Gibbs and Montgomery. And then you just have the cornerback and the safety that float over on St. Brown. So, no, I think the Lions are all right. But they need to make one move before the trade deadline either way. So just to kind of put a little bit of bow on it, because you don't know whether injuries are going to happen in the season, that second half of the season, or even to other ones, I guess. So, man, Browns got their wish. John, they got up and started cheering, standing ovation to Deshaun Watson, Achilles injury, out for the year. The fans celebrated. They finally, you're not off the contract, but you finally got tired of seeing piss poor quarterback being played.
Man, I'm gonna go. I'm always gonna be pro athlete on that, man.
Oh, I know you are.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to take the high road, fans. You try again. You paid your money to pay to go see the game and all that. If you got pissed off about quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Why'd you pay the money to go see the game? You know what I'm saying? So that did. You know what I mean? But you know, Cleveland is a hot mess. And you know what I'm saying, they got some backup options, I guess, man. I don't know. Did Desmond Ritter, did he get a call up, or was that was the Raiders. I think that might be the Raiders. I don't know. But
yeah,
like, no, they got some quarterback options. Yeah, they got some quarterback options in Cleveland. But you know what I'm saying, they're definitely gonna be, you know what I'm saying, picking one coming up in the April draft, 2025. But no, man, stay classy, Cleveland. That's all I got to say.
Steelers beat the Jets 37-15, another game over 30 points. Rusty Wilson got it going, John. 16-29, 264, and two touchdowns, and one rushing touchdown for Rusty. Came in, played well. I was impressed.
Yeah, looked like, you know what I'm saying, they had to trust what they got, what kind of seen in practice. Man, again, I kind of said last week, on last Wednesday show, that you got to keep the secondary, you know, and I get it, you know what I'm saying, you got to keep it attractive too, though, Brandon. So, like, if you do have a diva wide receiver kind of boiling out there, you still have to keep it, you know what I'm saying, Pittsburgh still have to look somewhat, you know, to free agencies, you know what I'm saying, and to draft as well. They got to look, you know what I'm saying, somewhat attractive, you know what I'm saying. Who knows why Brandon Ayuk didn't want to come, you know what I'm saying, to the Pittsburgh organization, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Who knows? That trade
didn't happen,
right? Well, yeah, it's kind of good now. But you got to keep, you know what I'm saying, what you have happy at home. So think about it, man. Through how many weeks? And I ain't about to poo-poo Justin Fields, man, because I was kind of against
the
move. But Justin Fields hasn't really thrown. Justin Fields has not thrown for a touchdown this year. I don't think he's thrown for one. He's run for a lot.
Yeah, he's thrown. He's thrown the Freiermuth. I was at that game.
One.
Steelers full.
Yeah, he's got one. So there's some things that, you know what I'm saying, that they've seen in practice and they've seen on film or whatever, but you know what I'm saying, that they're someone
it took a little bit for Russ, man. He was laid off for a year playing.
Yeah, but if you think about it, man, Pittsburgh Steelers, like, overnight, you know what I'm saying, I think, you know, people were kind of highly skeptical of all the moves that they made, after, you know what I'm saying, with the draft picks and then the moves that, you know what I'm saying, absorbing the rest of the contract or, you know what I'm saying, what, a point, a half, 16th of it, right, thinking that he was going to deeper out on them, man, you know what I'm saying. I know it's only one game in, but he hasn't really sold or whatnot, even in, you know what I'm saying, in training camps or even with Justin Fields kind of starting, he hasn't been a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying? Not out of his camp. Like, other teams have kind of, since he was out there, since he was interested in playing for him, but, like, you can probably shut the doors on Miami now, right? You can kind of definitely, you know what I'm saying, shut the doors on anything Saints-related, you know, whatever. So, or Vegas, too. So, you know, the rest is here to stay, man. You got to like what you see.
Shirts are out. The Rusty and Jesse. I seen those shirts being sold there in Pittsburgh, so it's got their pictures on the quarterback room. Jesse and Rusty. I was impressed. Started out tough, but ended up getting it pulled through in the second quarter. You know, Rodgers looked like shit, John. Just throwing picks and just, I think he's done, man. I hate to say it, but That's not the Rusty we know, or the Rodgers we know.
Darren Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ain't getting no MVP. He ain't getting no MVP trophy this year. It's not happening.
Nah, sorry about you. Right. Let's see. NFL wise. Oh, we never got to talk about last week, John. I got some audio. Cowboys, when they got their ass kicked, right? We played a little bit of it, but some people told me they couldn't hear us. I wanted to play it this week, but this was Jerry when he called into his radio show that they took that ass kicking to the Lions.
What's your point? Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out it's what the team is doing.
So Jerry's not happy, John. It was his birthday. They got their ass kicked. They had a bye week this past week to kind of figure out what's going on, and what did they get? They go to a Sunday night football in San Francisco with a beat-up 49ers team.
That's my homie, you know what I'm saying? I still, you know, follow a little bit. It's guaranteed, man. It's a guaranteed win over
the
49ers. 49ers are too beaten up, too battered, too bruised. I know they're a very powerful bunch. I know they still got Brock Purdy. I know they still got, you know what I'm saying, Joey Bosa. Oh, excuse me, not Joey. It's Nick Bosa.
Nick, yeah.
It's a Bosa. Sorry, yeah.
There's rumors. But like, rumors going around that the Patriots might be firing Gerard Mayo. Just ain't working.
Concerned. I mean, has he lost the locker room? Drake May, you know, it's still going to be a work in progress. I mean, you know, y'all expecting the kids to come out there where, you know, saying y'all can't even get a running game going. Last Sunday, they didn't have bigger rushing yards at all. I'm pretty sure. And
yeah.
They couldn't stop the run either. So, you know, the guy, you know, offensively, you know saying, if you can't put points up on the board, always, you know, say you're going to hit a clear pass a little feet about fire or whatnot. It'd be sort of a short leash, you know what I'm saying? You got to get a chance to get all your pieces together. When I look at the New England Patriots, in fact, they can't run the ball, but the quarterback, the rookie, right, is kind of, you know what I'm saying, he has a pretty good completion rate this past weekend. Kind of got that offensive line, man, and then, you know what I'm saying, are you special? You know what I'm saying, at tight end, or are you special, you know what I'm saying, some other, you know what I'm saying, the spots that can help the offensive line, man. I'm not saying you just throw a dime, you know what I'm saying, then run it back in to do your, you know what I'm saying, to handle the business, but like, you know what I'm saying, where else are the New England Patriots special at? When you break down, I know we don't necessarily go down one hole, you know, with the Patriots, you know, it's kind of Colts, Steelers here, right, you know what I'm saying, occasional Bears, and you know what I'm saying, Detroit Pistons people call in, but like, nah, man, like, where are they really special at? You know what I'm saying? They're a little age, too. You know what I'm saying? So I would give this man, one more year, and then, you know what I'm saying? They got to get a little more, you know what I'm saying, creative on that, you know what I'm saying, with the line play. They got to get more dynamic. And, you know what I'm saying, if you ain't got the ponies out there, then you necessarily can't blame the coach.
Okay. Broncos win another one, John. They've won four of their last five games. They beat the Saints there last Thursday night. Your apology tour for Bo Nix will continue. Quick note and other news, the Pacers are once again doing what Pacers do to start games. They're already down 12-4, already struggling, can't rebound. So great start to the season, first 5 minutes of the ball game for Indiana there.
Can't lose your mind. It's about game one.
No, but it was all season. Ravens, John, 41-31 over the Bucks. Impressive win, yeah?
For sure. Lamar looked like the MVP. Yeah, he looked like he could be the co-MVP if they had such a thing. But, nah, man, the Ravens look good. Like I said, Doug, they've been digging themselves out of that hole that they kind of put themselves in. And still, I know people are going, there's going to be some naggers that be like, well, they can't be Kansas City. Kansas City is playing good. Kansas City isn't playing great.
Right.
Ravens are playing great. Right now, the Ravens are playing great. If they played that game again versus Kansas City, either in Kansas City or in Baltimore, I think the Ravens right now would win. This is kind of based off like what we kind of think. Man, Patrick Mahomes has more interceptions than he has touchdowns right now. And I know it's crazy, man. Pretty sure y'all better check that stat. But yeah, right now, he's got more interceptions than he has touchdowns, man. So maybe DeAndre Hopkins can help out with that. But man, Baltimore Ravens, man, looking like world beaters.
Crossroads Sports Radio presented by sponsor Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. All your insurance needs, please go see them. We'll get Scott and the guys there, State Farm Insurance. Take care of you just like they take care of us. John, I want to, before I dive to the NBA, because we're going to do college football with Tanner here in a bit, a couple news and notes, really. Braylon Mullins. About an hour ago, John made his decision. He was down to IU, UConn, and UConn and UNC. The number 16 national recruit for the 2025 class here in Greenfield, Indiana, about 20 minutes east of Indianapolis. He chose UConn as his college choice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not UConn. UConn said they've been running college basketball for the last 30 years. They've been pickpocketing. They've been pickpocketing the IU's program, man, last two seasons, man. As you know, Sam Mullins, just like I said, just announced that he's, you know, going there. And then the kid that denounced, what's his name, Liam?
Yeah.
I can't remember his last name right now. Yeah, decommitted, and now he's with UConn. So, obviously the kid is a high basketball level player. I think at one point earlier in the recruiting, he had flirted with Purdue, and you know, it kind of, like, Brandon, it doesn't irritate me, man, because, you know, other people, other analysts and whatnot get into your ear, and everybody's just saying, hey, how much of a greater basketball player that you are, aren't, you know what I'm saying, based on, you know, the ego and whatnot gets a little played. So maybe, you know what I'm saying, the mid-majors and Purdue this for a few years, oh, my goodness, now I got cuter, quote-unquote, cuter girls, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, you know what I'm saying, the UConns of the world. So, because, like, I was kind of, like, over it. I remember it was, like, 2 weeks ago. He's like, man, he's going to let it. I'm like, listen, who is this dude? Like, he's, like, listen, everybody listening right now. Like, he's not Kevin Durant going to Texas. You know what I'm saying? This is not Cooper Flagg. You know what I mean? Like, those dudes are automatic. Or Zion Williamson going to Duke. Those dudes, like, the minute they was off, they – on campus, they was number one, number two draft pick. Everybody knew, you know what I'm saying? So, he kind of drew his out for me just a little bit, man. So, I applaud him, man. He's going to a powerhouse. They're going to pull out the best of him. Where he makes it to the next level, remains to be seen, man. But, like, yeah, I applaud him. You know what I'm saying? You know, unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? He chose, come on, he went to a Biggie suit and wasn't going to Butler. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, UConn quote unquote puts more pros into the, you know, the NBA than Butler has, but you know, so we'll see what Mr. Mullins has next four seasons.
There was an interesting quote this weekend I saw on Friday night from Mike Woodson, Hoosier Hysteria. He said, quote, "It's not about me, it's about what Bob Knight built. There's nothing left for me to do than win a Big Ten title and a national title. It would mean the world to me, but it would mean more to the fans." And I know your mortal enemy talked about this, and I talked about it. We're talking about Big Ten titles and national titles. Like, what? can we look about the second round of the weekend, second weekend of the tournament? Like, can we look at that? Can we look at maybe top four in the Big Ten? I know this year they're looking good. They're gonna be top. They're gonna be there, but you got to get up there.
Nah, you got to talk about at least the Big Ten. This is kind of crazy talking about national title. Big
right?
Ten for sure. Big Ten, IU, like, is the blood still blue?
National
title. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. They was doing a whole lot of dancing at Midnight Madness. I was like, wait a minute.
TikTok? TikToking?
Well, it resembled more so, you know what I'm saying? I know we have a couple of huge fans who listen to the show, so I don't mean no disrespect. I remember when John Wall, what year was that? Was in John Wall? Was in
2012 or 2011.
Yeah, man, he came out there and did his little, you know what I'm saying, top
Dougie.
Shot. And then he got Dougie, and then, you know what I'm saying, next year he Dougie, you know what I'm saying, for the Wizards, which was horrible. You know, so that was horrible because it set that franchise back another 7,000 years.
Damn.
You know, they still ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying, because of John Wall Dougie. So, Brandon, it looked like a whole lot of Dougie. And Bloomington. Dougie and Bloomington. Like, we got to see some dubs, man. For real. It's not, there ain't no talk down in West Lafayette. You know what I mean?
All business.
There ain't no talk. You know what I'm saying? Kind of all business in Michigan, too. As they
yep.
have, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of all business. As they transition from, you know what I'm saying, different leadership to, like, Jawan, you couldn't cut it or whatever, or wasn't cut, whatever. You was frantic for you. Now we got somebody who didn't ditch you a Final Four, too. You know, a Sweet 16 or two. So,
yep.
You should be talking about Big Ten for sure. You know what I'm saying? Then, like, navigating that tournament has been a bugaboo for them, unfortunately. You know what I mean? But, like, I don't necessarily think about in the tournament, Brand. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to say I won't get in trouble. We still try to get media credentials in Bloomington and everywhere else, man. So, when it comes to tournament things, and I'm filling out my bracket, like, I can almost tell you, like, I ain't got – I just been honest with you, man. You know UAU, like, versus what, Kentucky? Oh, no, excuse me, not Kentucky. What, Kansas, the last couple seasons? Duke, the last couple seasons? I'm trying to think who else has been, you know what I'm saying, pretty – another blue blood, you know what I'm saying, kind of on that level, man. Like, nah, man, IU, it's not on the – has not been the same blue blood. No, they're not. They haven't. You know what I'm saying? And – I get it. You know, they don't consider Purdue a blue blood because they ain't won a national championship. But Purdue, like, dude, like, I don't know if you keep your old Final Four Chiefs and whatnot, but, like, Purdue, they just keep on, you know, man, I get it, man. They get stung. What's his name? Fairleigh Dickinson, stung, like, or whoever, somebody else. But, like, it's they resume prior to that, the tournament was impeccable. So, you know, say there's that. And, you know, but, like, IU, the blue – I don't know if it's still blue no more. It's like a smurf blue. You know what I mean? So they gotta get the seriousness back into the program, man. And they ain't gonna get it by Dougie. I know that. But they can get it by if they can get some dubs. You know what I'm saying? In the win column. So we'll see what they have.
There's also a little noise made this weekend, from this. It's not exactly this clip, but there's some similarities to this one.
Guys are idiots. And Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
Your buddy tweeted out, "I'm always amazed at the stupidity of this statement." John, he's coming
man,
to you.
All I did, man, I said, hey, man, it better save a little bit for Michigan. That's all I said. I said save a little
not
bit
literal,
for Michigan.
And not, you didn't mean it literally either.
No, man. So I know Dan listens to me. He does. He might not listen to the show, but he does listen to me because he tweets out every time I tweet him. You know, say he says something. You know, say right or wrong, usually wrong because it's going against what I say. But IU, you know what, Brad? Not in my wildest dreams, probably not in theirs either, man. Because every one of them foolish ass analysts up on that game day or whatever the hell it was, the spot. You know, saying. Said it was going to be a close game. I thought IU was going to win. I said, you can go back and look at my tweets. You asked me to pull the tape from last week. I thought IU was going to win by like 10, maybe 14, I thought IU was that better than Nebraska. I thought it was going to be close. I think it's going to be a whooping. They whooped Matt Rhule. They came out and, man, Matt Rhule was pissed. Then he got an unsportsmanlike penalty. He was pissed. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different. I know the biggest criticism is always gonna be can it be sustained? What he's kind of built here, because it kind of is in jeopardy. The kid from Clemson who already transferred from Clemson to IU, he's already been checked out. His name's Whiteout. He's gone. Some of these, Brad, you gotta be careful. Some of these NIL kids because the coach didn't, it wasn't the coach, it's you, kid. You know what I'm saying? And then the biggest issue IU's gonna be facing, kind of going further. I'll go back into the game just a little bit. The biggest is like the kid Rourke got hurt. The kid, you know what I'm saying? He had to have surgery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I know they have a, you know, I know they got a, you know what I'm saying, the last year starter, Tavis, who brought a, you know what I'm saying, most, you know, a lot of, a couple games, you know what I'm saying, last year or whatever. Can they navigate, beat Washington? Yeah, don't take Washington lightly. You know what I mean? But Washington is coming. It is a game in Bloomington. It is a game. Washington got to drive. You know what I'm saying, fly, but how did they get here, right? So, but like, nah, man, the IU Hoosiers, man. There's no way if you had made that bet that this new dude is coming in would flip this team just like that, man. I'd be like, man, there's no way. You know what I'm saying? But here he is. They can be special, Brandon, if they can kind of weather this injury bug. And that's probably where the upper echelon, the real blue blood teams, are kind of deferred from a team like a Georgia, a team like a Alabama, you know what I'm saying? Even in the past, even Oklahoma, they had depth at quarterback or depth at, you know what I'm saying, that particular star position. Can't think about what Texas got. Me and you, Archie Manning should have started versus Georgia. But like, nah. This is the challenge. This is going to be the challenge for IU. Can they be special? Or win some games without their starting quarterback. The dude probably should have been in Heisman talk. You know what I'm saying? He was cutting up yards. I think he had like, he was out before he got injured in that game. I think he had like 1,500 yards already. You know what I'm saying? With games to play. So, Rourke's going to have to miss a game. They can be special, Brandon. If they can beat both the Michigan teams, like, you know, not to say that they can go lay down when they have to go to Columbus and play Ohio State, but they can be special and definitely make the playoffs. If they can be, you know what I'm saying, win these next three games.
Yep. Let's see here. I want you to, before we get here to the NBA, John, I want you to see if you can do the name that player, name that team, kind of like to do with Barkley. John, what team is Chris Paul on for this season?
The Spurs.
Oh, that was a quick response there by you, John.
Come on, man. You got to know where the dudes is at, man. Coaches is hard, but, yeah, I know where the players are most of.
Who is the new head coach of the Detroit Pistons playing the Pacers tonight?
The new head coach of the Pistons. Oh, it's the homie D. Steve Cleveland, Bickerstaff.
Hey, John Vertsog, 2-4-2.
Yeah, because it was lame that he got fired by Cleveland, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Last one, DeMar DeRozan. Where do you go?
Oh, he was the Kings, man. They played, when he got traded out there, he went to his high school gymnasium. They played not like us. The whole gym erupted for DeMar, so. They got a high reputation out there for the Kings.
I need an apology from you. All that shit you're talking about, James Wiseman, he's already got back-to-back buckets and a couple boards.
Man, don't get me started. Good rotation, guy.
I'll get you started in the NBA. Thoughts on last night? First, the Celtics and the Knicks. Celtics just shellacked the Knicks, 29 threes, I think it was. Knicks playing without one of their guys, but Celtics look like they're primed for another run.
Yeah, it goes probably for another run. The kid, Jalen Brown is pissed. He's playing very pissed. And if you kick anything from his interview with Stephen A, we're playing with an edge, like that kind of pitch, you know what I'm saying? So that's one. You got prime Al Horford out there. It's like he turned back time on him again, man. And that makes it real hard. You know what I'm saying? When you got, you know what I'm saying, a piece, because the unicorn ain't playing. You know what I'm saying? Probably not till after the All-Star break, y'all. You know what I mean? So the Knicks got to figure some things out defensively. They probably going to argue, Brandon. I know people going to be like, how do you know this, Brandon? I'll be up on it. Brandon, they probably going to trade for another guard to get better defensively, whether that's Marcus Smart or not, who that's kind of who they want and covet. They had to give up a whole lot to get him, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, like, they got to get better defensively. And I think they will, you know what I'm saying? But, man, the Celtics, they should be surprised. The Celtics this last week took 55 threes in a preseason game, man. So, like, nah, man, they like to shoot them. So,
yeah.
We'll see if they're going to break it.
We never gave our official Pacers prediction. I've got them at 46 wins, less than last year, and I've got them as a sixth seed. What was yours?
Nah, man. You being too nice, man. Brandon.
Nice.
You got to look at the lay of the land. Philadelphia, them dudes ain't going back-to-back. And you know what I'm saying? What you kind of – everybody kind of just pegged Philadelphia into being this juggernaut of a team. I ain't gonna blame me. I was one of them, but I thought they was gonna play. Now they're not gonna play. That's what they said. They you know what I'm saying? We're gonna give it a go when we can. Like, 82
games, man. 82 games.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, you want to get behind 20 games or 10 games, and you seen what you just saw with the Celtics, right? I think the Pacers. It's the opportunity for I told you, Brand, don't shy away from that four seed, man. That's all I'm going to say, man. Don't shy away from the four seed. I'm going to stick with that prediction. They should be, you know, saying four seed. I know that Damian Lillard is still a little bit better about his situation in Milwaukee. So people are going to say, well, why aren't you considering him to be a top three seed? I am. You know what I'm saying? But, like, man, I think the Pacers is better than the Pacers is best, still better than the Bucks. You know what I'm saying? When they play together. But the Pacers, Brandon, the Pacers probably gonna go through the same where they sit Halliburton for like 2 weeks or whatever. They have enough depth or whatever. I know that's a terrible word, but they have enough depth where they can kind of weather the storm. Brandon, I like them, man. I'm not gonna shy away from the four. So you say six, I'm gonna stay with the four.
Okay. I just look at it, man. I got the Celtics better than them. I've got the Knicks better than them. I obviously have Milwaukee better than them.
I think Philly's
still a four. They have to be, John, with that talent on the roster. They got to be a four. Yeah. Five can be either them, the Pacers, Cleveland, or Miami at five. And then however it goes through the rest of that way. So,
Okay. Just
my thoughts on that. Thoughts on the second game last night, man. We had LeBron. Oh, Lord. James Wiseman going to the locker room. I don't know what happened now. There we go.
He's
I don't know. He got hit in the dick or something. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, man.
He hit a free throw, and then that's a wrap. But no, Bron played, and then Bronny got in there in the second quarter. No points, missed a couple shots, but father-son moment.
Yeah.
A lot of people lost their shit for it. I didn't.
Oh, man, it was a good photo op moment, man. You know, pass around on social media. You know what I'm saying? Kind of what taking for us for. Ken Griffey, the Griffey's was at the game. It's kind of cool. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know your history, you should. You know what I'm saying? They kind of did that before, you know what I'm saying? Father, son on the same plan, you know what I'm saying? Playing field, or, you know what I'm saying? Bronny's probably going to get that G League assignment is coming too.
Uh-oh.
Hey, how pissed are, would you be? You see Bronny, second round pick, shouldn't have been picked, whatnot, doesn't have the talent in there. Some other NBA players saying he's not ready. He gets in there in the second quarter, plays some minutes, while you're, and you mentioned it in a tweet a while back, and you're Jalen Hood-Schifino just sitting down at the end of the bench, you can't get any play.
Jalen Hood-Schifino didn't like he could play dead in the preseason. He didn't look like he could play dead in a walking, in a zombie movie. You know what I mean? Jalen Hood, this is supposed to be the year where you ascend. You know what I'm saying? And it hasn't looked good for Jalen Hood. I've kind of been disappointed in Hood-Schifino's preseason. So I get it what you're saying, Brandon, but you know, the first game is definitely going to be, the first couple games, probably damn near. It might be another game where they do this better. Sorry. You can say chop Bronny out there. But, like, nah, man, if you were better than, it would have showed up, push your thing up, or anybody else just kind of, you know, saying, waiting in rotation. But, like, nah, man, back to the game, man. It's a game that the Lakers, you know what I'm saying, clearly was in control of, man. LeBron James went, how many have 39? Easy. Yeah, 39. You know what I'm saying? We might see a little bit of aggression from the Timberwolves, man. They have to adjust to their new teammate, Towns, who, you know what I'm saying, been a longstanding, you know what I'm saying, star for them, you know what I'm saying, gone in the trade with the Knicks. They have some other, you know what I'm saying, Dillingham, the kid from Kentucky, you know what I'm saying, on the squad. I don't even know if he got into the game last night. Yeah, I got to look at the box score. But, yeah, but they got some players that they have to, once they go Gobert ain't going nowhere here, they got to hit some more money.
Oh,
time.
No.
But no, nah, man, Lakers look, you know, say good last night.
Hey, man, I'm seeing reports. Oh, man, James Wiseman, left calf injury, allegedly will not return, but a lot of people saying it was non-contact. Looked like it was Achilles. Jesus Christ. Before it even got started, he got two buckets and a couple of rebounds. And don't tell me that's the end of the season already. Damn. I hope not, John. We got to.
Andrew Bynum.
Hibbert. Bring back Roy. Hey, man, you've been giving shit to Paul George and Joel Embiid sitting out these games being hurt and all this. What about your man out there in Los Angeles going to play in that billion-dollar stadium tonight? He's not going to play, but Kawhi Leonard out for several weeks. And this dude was going to play in the Olympics? Something fishy there, John.
It's always been fishy with Kawhi Leonard ever since the San Antonio Spurs didn't want to extend him to $200 million. How many years ago was that when $200 million was nothing? And you know what I'm saying? When I'm saying $200 million was a big thing. I mean, now it's nothing. I kind of put a red flag there, man. The Spurs did not want to. And that's just, if everybody kind of said the Spurs were going cheap, that was just the regular fair, you know what I'm saying, of the contract of, like, you know what I'm saying, say like they had a LeBron James who, you know what I'm saying, ascending. You know what I'm saying, Kawhi Leonard was, at that point, was ascending, right? But they didn't, they trust their science. They knew his knees wasn't as strong or as, you know what I'm saying, durable or as over the time period of what he wanted, you know what I'm saying, from you know what I'm saying, for what he wanted to be paid and what he probably knew when he was going to sit out. I think he already knows he's going to sit out X amount of number of games. He's playing the system. And it might be something that he learned from the Spurs, I guess, because he ain't the only one that had to sit out, right? They said it. Tony Parker and Tim Duncan and everybody else's career by you know what I'm saying, relaxing or having to sit out or whatever and not playing the standard minutes that they were into their late 30s. But, you know what I'm saying, Kawhi Leonard has abused this. But, like, can you really fault it? Who are we really mad at, Brandon? Are we mad at Steve Ballmer? The market? The market says Kawhi Leonard could ask for $55 million. Ballmer said, Kawhi, I don't want you to leave us. Paul George already left us. So, I don't know. They didn't make it contentious. They said, right. Hey, it's you or Paul. They didn't say, hey, it's you or Paul. They just said, they did. They said, Paul. They offered Paul George money.
Decott's coming in on the Facebook.
Paul George
said it wasn't
enough.
Decott, it's Achilles injury, Decott. They're reporting it's Achilles. I know he's out. He's out for the season. It's Achilles. Saw the replay. The NBA doctor on Twitter, who's pretty reliable with his injuries, looked at it all. It was coming down non-contact when he stepped back, just like who recently just blew their Achilles, and you can see it snap. Yep, you can see it, especially from the Detroit video that's online right now. So Wiseman is out. He'll be out for the year. Damn it, man. Achilles. Jesus. I was hoping big things with him this year, John. I know y'all kept talking smack. Ain't going to be nothing. He pulled himself out of the role here with Indiana. He was the first guy off the bench. Now, who I want to see something from this year, got to show me something, Ben Mathurin. You got to show me something, Jairus Walker. You're getting minutes right now. Walker's getting minutes finally. We got to see something, or else it's to the bench and we move over some of that thing. But Mathurin's got to figure it out. I've already seen him a little bit of sloppy, couple turnovers, but you're going to have that in game one. We don't want to put John's boy Furphy in there. We gotta stay away from that.
No, man, Furphy's gonna be with the ants, man. This year, man. Not this year. Now he won't be a person this year.
Yeah. So, damn, man, hate to see that for James Wiseman there. What else do I have? World Series, John. We got Yankees Dodgers gonna be starting up this Friday night. Fall Classic, AL and NLCS were a little bit. There was a lot of drama. Good games between the Guardians and the Yankees, and also the Mets and Dodgers had a couple good ones.
Yeah, and when's the last time we started the Mets and extended, you know, say dramatized playoff games in quite some time now? But the two most storied franchise, sorry, Boston fans. Sorry, Cubs fan. The two most storied franchises in Major League Baseball, you got the Dodgers from Los Angeles, transplants from Brooklyn, right? And you got, you know what I'm saying, the New York Yankees, who are currently in Brooklyn. So, stars are going to be out. Should be a lot of hitting and missing from Brandon. I don't necessarily favor, anybody's pitching. In this message, man, but I don't know, man. I don't have no favor. I don't have a dog in the race, man.
I don't think there's a weak spot for the Dodgers. That lineup is just 1-9, just relentless. And then the pitching, they don't swing at balls. They are so defensive. And plate discipline, they do not swing the balls. And when the pitchers throw them in that strike zone, man, they pound it. And we saw it with Ohtani. We've seen it with all of them. Hernandez, it's crazy, John. I've never seen it. And they just pounded that ball, and they would not swing if it went out of the zone there against the Mets in that series. So, craziness. Let's see. We got Tanner coming here shortly on with us. We talked about a little bit of the Indiana Hoosiers. Rankings-wise, John, we'll talk our rankings real quick. We both have Oregon number one. You have jumped Penn State to number two. I know you don't feel like they're the true number two team in the country. I've moved Georgia to number two on mine because they did lose a close game to Alabama that they shouldn't have been down that much. Georgia's still a prime house team. I've got Ohio State at three and Texas at four. Penn State's fifth for me. You've got Oregon, Penn State, Georgia. I'm really sus on your Miami pick at four, and then Ohio State.
Man, why? They haven't lost.
You weren't on them. You were on Clemson. I was on Miami for the ACC.
Is Clemson a stronger team, kind of like how they took their love? They lost to Georgia, man. Georgia's a freaking buzzsaw. What if Georgia had beat Alabama? You could just shut the damn playoff down now. Brandon, if they had beat Alabama, what would we need a CSP for? They had beat everybody. You know what I'm saying? So they'd beat Texas, they'd beat Clemson, they'd beat Alabama. Shut the CSP there. What's the game for?
The biggest thing about the college football playoff now and in these super conferences, you can call them, is this week we have a interesting game, and we'll talk it with Tanner, but We have basically an elimination game this week. We have an elimination game between Alabama and Missouri. Whoever loses this is out. Yeah. They are done. But it's pretty basically
Alabama. I thought Alabama had two more ranked games in front of them.
Well, I mean, they will, but if you lose this, this is your third loss, right?
Well, you need help.
You're going to need help. A lot of help. But these and it doesn't. Your schedule doesn't get any easier.
Right.
But so they've got some work to do. I still, John, say I think Cignetti. He could be a Sooner. He could be a Gator, or he could be an Auburn Tiger next year. IU needs to do whatever they can to say, hey, what else do we need to give you in that contract? I read over his contract, what he gets, and what the type of car they supply him with, the unlimited golf at the golf course. Oh, it's incentive high already, but it's not like SEC or, SEC money, John. And the resources are a lot better down there than Bloomington.
They gotta show him the books. They gotta show him Quinn Buckner's book, man. You know,
Quinn
Buckner's the one that holds the key. He knows the key to the city, man. He gotta let Cignetti, cook, so that he can go get some more guys, man. Otherwise, it won't be lasting. If you don't pay for him to stay around, this won't be a lasting feeling. This will be a fleeting feeling because even if I was joking back to the sport meeting because Ball State let another one go. He could have beat Vanderbilt, man. Vanderbilt ain't that special. I don't know how they were in the game. They were in the game. Vanderbilt ain't that special, man. Ball State was in the game, bro. And defensively, but, like, even if you recruit the best defensive back, right, from the state of Indiana, you know what I'm saying, that still is going to leave you in a challenging position still. But you still need to, you know what I'm saying. But, and more guys, more kids that need to go from the Hoosier State and from the Midwest, you know what I'm saying, kind of need to pull here. But I don't think he kind of goes anywhere. But, you know what I'm saying, it kind of makes you see if they can kind of come up, you know what I'm saying, with something that kind of makes, he made IU this year already so special. Mm-hmm. And the fellas that he kind of brought on. So, you know what I'm saying, you kind of got to, he just failed. So,
when I say 20 million, is that when I sell a $20 million buyout this year and then it goes down after that?
I can see Florida. For Oklahoma, Brad, I can see Florida. But I don't think he leaves.
Okay. I don't think Auburn. I think Auburn would be the last. But Oklahoma needs to figure it out, man. Like, Venables is not getting it done out there. And Oklahoma, he was supposed to be this defensive juggernaut guy. And
But, Brandon, things changed up on him, Brandon. Now you don't have that game in between when you played Oklahoma State and you can kind of feel a little good because you didn't zip up Kansas.
Because you're in the Big 12, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or you didn't zip up Kansas State. You know what I'm saying? Now you, they didn't do Oklahoma no favors in their scheduling. So IU has got, I get it, man. They've got very favorable schedule, but, you know, you got to play the teams in front of you. And, like, this is, you know what I'm saying, this is Tom Crean's IU team. There was not a guarantee they was going to beat Northwestern. There was definitely not a guarantee they was ever going to beat Maryland. You know what I'm saying? and like a 56 burger. No, how many points? They scored 60? Did they score 60 points? Oh, Nebraska? It was 56. It was 56. That's crazy. I never would have thought that ever would have happened.
Yeah. Okay. I'm waiting to see if we got Tanner coming on here. We may have to roll this because I've got work that's calling me and texting me right now. I was afraid this was going to happen. So let's dive into our picks, John. Tanner's calling right now. So we'll get him on momentarily. We'll dive in first game, Northern Illinois -12.5 at Ball State. John, we'll have you start with Northern Illinois, Ball State. 12.5.
Ball State.
You think they're going to turn around at home?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Like you said, I thought they'd have this against Vanderbilt. You know, they covered, but you thought they should have won out.
They covered.
They did cover.
They still covered.
Yeah, they covered for sure. But they'll be – I'd like to see them win. I mean, Northern Illinois is one of their rivals. 12.5 seems like a lot when you're on home underdog, so hopefully they'll be they can compete there, make it a competitive game, stay within that number there. Another one, John, Syracuse at number 19, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, -5.5.
There's no way. They're still strong. They're still having a special season out there in Pittsburgh, man. I got Pittsburgh winning.
Okay.
Take care of Pittsburgh. I know it's a rival there.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well. Let's bring Tanner on real quick. Tanner, first game for you is Northern Illinois, -12.5 at Ball State. Who'd you like in that one?
Well, I'll just cut it quick. I did a little thing. Ball State went up there and won last year, 20-17. I think Northern Illinois is going to have a little revenge. Double-digit favorites this year. Coming back on that revenge game, I read an article like hitting at about 58%. So I'm going to follow that trend. Go against the Cardinals. Shouldn't have went against the Cardinals because that'll lead up to what I was going to – I'll talk about later last week, but so for this week, yeah, I'll take Northern Illinois laying the 12.5 up in Muncie.
Okay. Next one, Tanner, for you. The matchup is you did take Northern. Wait, who did you take in that one? Sorry, I had this completely
Northern.
Wrong.
Northern.
Yeah.
Northern.
Okay, I had it right. Syracuse at number 19. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh -5.5.
All right. Real quick on that couple. I think. Going to be very defensively minded ball game between those two. I think Pittsburgh squeaked one out last week, won like 17-15, really didn't have much offense. I think Kyle McCord's the X factor in this game. I think, what are we getting, 5.5, 6.5? I think something around there. Either way, I like the Cuse. Mm-hmm. Give me the Orangemen covering on there.
Okay. Number 17, Boise State, -3.5 at UNLV, John.
Give me Boise State. My guy, the running back here, still, you know, still should be in the room for Heisman, Kansas City, right? Give me Boise. Murph Turf.
Tanner.
I'll go quick, too. Not so fast. I think Boise gets tested in this game. I think it's going to be a close one. I think they win. But give me UNLV, the home dogs, catching 3. I like that. I'll take the running Rebs.
Okay. I'm going to take Boise State -3. I like that running back. He's putting up crazy numbers this year. I think he just continues to go in there to UNLV. Maybe throw a little blackjack on there with it. Next one I'm going to take, guys, the College Game Day. Washington at number 13, Indiana. Indiana -6.5. Tanner.
He's 7-0 against the spread. Might as well ride it again. Go 8-0. I think even though they're going to be rolling out Trace Jackson's little brother, Trayvon, he's had some action last year. He's played. He played a little bit played that whole second half last week. I think that offense could still work through him. It's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like it was on homecoming, but I think IU should win this game. I'm going to say by 10.
Okay. John.
I'm going to go with Tanner, man. I'm just kind of like, if this was Rourke at quarterback, it'd be another roll. They put up another 50 burger, man. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, it's not going to be him, man. But they survived another week undefeated. Maybe IU.
I'm going to take Indiana as well. I think they roll in this one, cover the spread easily. Next one, Oklahoma at number 16, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, 20-point favorites. Man, I've taken Oklahoma, and they've screwed me over so many times. 20. Give me Ole Miss. They got to start playing a little bit better, a little bit. Give me Ole Miss -20. I don't like it.
Give me Ole Miss too, man. Hurt me.
I've just been doing some tidbits on there. Old Venables fired everybody. O coordinator pulled off. He's pulled play calling duties from people. I mean, I think it's a dumpster fire right now in Ole Miss. I mean, in Oklahoma, pardon me. He's trying to figure it out right now. They switched quarterbacks, went to that Arnold guy, sent the Hawkins guy. I just think Ole Miss, they're going to need the victory more. I think Lane's got them prepared. If they're going to have any chance of making a run at that playoff, he can't lose this. So I think he's got to win this one. And I just think Oklahoma, I don't know. Their defense is good, but I think it's always out there too long. And I think Dart and that up-tempo last week, I think, gave Oklahoma a little bit of trouble. I don't think they're going to like that. So, yeah, give me Ole Miss.
Okay. John.
I said Ole Miss.
Yeah, he snap called you.
Okay. Sorry, I'm doing two things at once right now. Next one, you're number good. 12, Notre Dame, minus 13 at Navy. Tanner.
All right. So I was doing some thinking on here. At first I was like, man, I like Navy plus 13. Sounds good. Getting a double-digit home thing. But Notre Dame, ever since that loss to Northern Illinois, they've been putting a foot down on people. And I just think, and I saw earlier, I know you normally do the tick, I saw 80% of the money's already on Navy. It's going to be a pros versus Joe's game. I'm going pro side. I'm taking the Irish. If everybody's going to feed in on Navy, I'm gonna fade the public and go the other way.
I'm going to go Irish as well. I think Irish cover the spread there.
I mean, they did beat them last year 44-3, but, I mean, different year, but still.
Right, exactly.
But the last three times they played them, they beat them by 20 or more. These are all stats that I like. It's hard for me to fade them here.
Yep, absolutely. John.
I'm going with Notre Dame, man.
Okay. Going with the Irish. Number 20, Illinois at number 1, Oregon. Oregon, 21.5-point favorites.
Is that Illinois?
Is
that Oregon?
Yep.
Damn it. Okay.
Go ahead, John.
I like Oregon.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Tanner?
Well, I'm going to go not so fast. I think this game, I liked the under last time when they played Purdue, and it blew up.
Yeah.
I mean, the over in the Purdue game, and it went way under, pardon me, but I like the under again here. I just think Oregon struggled covering the spread as home favorites, like double-digit favorites. I think they're like 1-3 this year is covering the spread against being double-digit favorites at home. So I just think it might be if Bielema could slow down Gabriel just a little bit, I think they can keep it. You're giving them three touchdowns. I think they can cover. I think they can slow it down, run it a little bit. If they can control the clock, it's definitely in favor of Illinois this game.
Okay. Next one is, I told John earlier, this is an elimination game for the playoff. Number 21, Missouri at number 15, Alabama. Tanner.
I'm just going to go quick. I think they're going to absolutely riot if they lose down there in Tuscaloosa this week. They don't blow somebody out. With what they've done after the – I'm telling you, that town will blow up down there. So, actually, it's another game I like the other end because Missouri hasn't done anything solid for me lately. They haven't looked too impressive for me. Lately, especially last week against Auburn. So I like Bama here. I think they could win by two touchdowns. I think they win by about 17. So that's enough to cover. So give me the Crimson Tide.
Okay. One second here.
I really want chaos.
Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
I really want chaos. Missouri hasn't looked that great on the road. This is a game in Missouri. I'll be like, man, chaos is coming. But with that being said, man, the game's in Alabama. Tanner just said, man, if they lose to Missouri, Alabama, man, he'll have to – they'll throw eggs and tomatoes and everything else, man. So, like, nah, man, Alabama be ready. Milroe will be looking like the he'll be back on. He's not going to be an advisor to Heisman at this point. But, like, man, he should look sharp. And I think Alabama comes out with the win.
Okay. I'm going to take Alabama as well. They got to blow somebody's ass out at some point. So why not here? Number five, Texas, 18.5-point favorites at number 25, Vanderbilt. Tanner.
This is what I was going to get on last week. I didn't know Vandy had Texas this week, or I would have took Ball State. That was their look-ahead game last week against Ball State, covering that game. Texas coming to town. I know everybody's going to think they can blow them out coming back because they just lost. So everybody, I mean, I've been kind of torn on both sides. But I think Vandy's a little different this year. They can score with people, and I think they can keep up scoring with Texas with that offense. I think three scores is a little too much for this game, and I think Vandy, if they're going to play the way they played against Alabama, if you get that same Vandy team, 18.5 is way too many points. So I like Vandy covering the 18.
Okay. John.
Yeah, Vandy's a strong unit. I don't know, man. Texas is going to be – where's the game at, Brandon? Is it Vanderbilt?
Yep.
The cover. I usually don't go. Give me Vanderbilt the cover. They are strong bunch, man.
Yeah, I think they cover the spread way too much for 18.5. So I'm going to take it as well. I think they can kind of utilize the same game plan against Texas as they did Alabama and keep it close. Number three, Penn State -6.5 at Wisconsin. John.
Penn State.
Well, a good call. Tanner?
Comfortably.
He doesn't know. Penn State has Ohio State next week. Trap game for Penn State right here. They could be on there. Wisconsin's won the last three games by 20 points. It's the Wisconsin we expected to see all season. Watch out for the Nittany Lions on upset alert. Give me the Badgers.
The fact that you said that, I was going to go with you, but I'm going to switch. I'm going to go Penn State on this one. I think they probably win by 7. Your boy TJ or your boy Franklin knows the spread, so I think they end up covering the spread late. By the way, before we pick this last game, bad week for all of us last week. Bad week.
Son of a bitch, it was terrible.
Bad week. Tanner, me and you both went 2-9. John was 4-7. Week. John's still
bad
looking
week.
Good overall, 49-35. That's a strong 14 games above 500.
That is.
So me and John are both. Me and Tanner are both below the Mendoza line. I'm 41-45-2, and Tanner is 40-46. So you're only one game back of me, Tanner. So. Last game, gentlemen, number 8, LSU, at number 14, Texas A&M. Texas A&M, 2.5-point favorites.
Man, I'm just going to say, this is the hardest game for me to pick the whole week right here. I've gone back and forth. I looked at both ways. I wanted to take LSU. I was like, if I take LSU, I'd take them on the money line. I know I did that when they – won at home against Ole Miss, but man,
this is Brian Kelly.
Yeah, this is Brian Kelly.
This is Brian Kelly. Don't be like that, man. You got to build with your brain, not with your heart.
And I feel like Brian Kelly chokes in big games, so I'm taking. Give me A&M.
Oh, you could. I have to remind you, Brandon. You see what happened? I have to remind you who was coaching the team. He's like, oh, Brian Kelly. I'm going the other way.
I'm taking A&M as well, -2.5 at home. 12th man. Brian Kelly on the road is different from Brian Kelly at home. It is a night game, but
man,
we don't trust it. I'm taking A&M as well.
I do.
John.
Give me LSU, man. Y'all going to believe me. I'm not saying you owe him an apology. You don't owe him an apology. You don't. Nobody. No. But you're not going to be laughing at him. Too many more times.
He's gonna lose this game, and he's sitting kind of in the driver's seat on this playoff to make it, and they're going to lose and get knocked out.
Damn.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we let you go, T,
yeah.
Thoughts real quick on Yankees, Dodgers World Series.
Oh, man. At the restaurant I work at, in Fisher's, there's a sports agent that comes in there a lot, and he's a Purdue grad, and he lives in, but now he lives in Manhattan. He's from New York originally. I'm trying to go to game five, actually. So I feel like the Yankees can make it to game five. It would be in the Bronx. So I think Ohtani's going to be a little amped up. I mean, everybody wanted to see this, but it's kind of what MLB wants. They love those big market teams in there. It's been 43 years since they played each other, but if you think about it, they should have played in 2017 when the Astros were cheating. That's who would have played when he, yeah. So, yeah. The only thing I'm sour about is the players that didn't get in any trouble. They're like, oh, that's fine. Right. Just the management. Nah, that's, like, you didn't have the balls to stand up and say what you were doing was wrong. So, lost a little bit for them on that. But, yeah.
Right.
I think it's going to go – I forgot the format was too back to whoever had the best record. I really thought when the Yankees were in the world, I was like, oh, they got home field, because I thought it was still on whoever won the All-Star game, but I forgot they changed that back like in 2018. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do some research, so I was like, oh, yeah, they can 1-2 and 6-7 at home. That's where I need it to be. I just think it's going to be tight. I think it's what everybody wants to see. I think the hitting's kind of even. Dodgers probably have the upper leg in the bullpen. Yankees probably have the advantage in the starting pitching. So, I mean, I can see this thing going 6 or 7 easily. If it goes anything less than 6, I'll be shocked.
Okay. All right, perfect. Well, T, thanks for calling, my man. Good luck with your pick this week. We'll keep going with it. So, thanks, Tanner.
All right, fellas. Thanks for chatting. Have a good one. Yep.
All right, it's our guy, Tanner Penrod, college football analyst, guest picker with us. Hopefully, let's have a good, better week this week with our picks, because God knows we all need it. John, do you want to – we got our special guest on hold right now. John, do you want to do a little intro and bring her on?
Yeah, man, bring her on in, man.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, across for our listening audience, if you didn't listen to, I had did a special little one-off with our special guest and our Hall of Famer, Debbie Walker Argerson. Welcome to the show. She went to Missouri. I'm not going to tell you how many years ago it was, but she played basketball for Missouri basketball. Still has many, many, many records. I do believe she's still number 7 all-time scorer in Missouri, basketball, and she's been, and she just recently went to another Hall of Fame. So, welcome to the show, Deb.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on the show. It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Well, I wanted you to, you know what I'm saying, kind of come on to us with live, because you didn't get to necessarily meet Brandon, and kind of get to kind of share some of your story. You're an original Indiana native, correct? And how did you end up in Missouri basketball? How did you end up in Missouri to play basketball anyway?
Well, they recruited me really, really hard, and so I had been speaking with them for. Something happened. You still there?
Yep,
no,
we're here.
Okay, cool. I just kind of liked the atmosphere and the campus. When I went to visit, they were super nice. All into education, and it wasn't a lot. I mean, there's a lot of talk about basketball, but they was really into making sure that you're going to graduate when you get there. And the coach was super cool. The players were excellent. I mean, I won't say excellent, but they're very good players when I went for my trip. And so just going there and seeing that I had to work so hard just to get a shot off and practice when I went there to visit, it let me know that they were a team that could that can contend with all other teams that were good. They could be some contenders. And so the team was all white, and I was the only black, and that was something that, you know, I had to adjust to. But other than that, I just like the school and the coaches and the players. Yes.
Okay.
I got you. So nobody necessarily comes up like I said, Hall of Fame overnight. As you play, you play all 4 years at Missouri. I know you had some opportunities to play professionally after Missouri. I know there wasn't necessarily a WNBA, you know what I'm saying, at all, you know what I'm saying, to when was the WNBA? Come back to like the late 90s, I do believe. But can I tell us a little bit about some of the places that you've seen basketball, not on American soil?
Okay, so originally I was recruited to play for Stockholm, Sweden. And I signed a contract to play for them. But unfortunately, it was taking a long time to send the ticket and the paperwork over. So then I end up going to they were calling me to come to – with me back up. They wanted me to come to Switzerland from the beginning, but Switzerland didn't have a sponsor at the time. So then Sweden stepped in and got a sponsor, and they was going to send me the ticket and all this, and I was scheduled to go there. And they didn't send it when they said it was. So then France called. And so a guy from my hometown, he lived not far from me, so I felt comfortable. I was like, oh, okay, I know Mr. Daniels, I'll go check it out. So they was like, if they don't have you a ticket by Monday, we'll have a ticket for you. So I end up going to Chicago and hopping on a plane and going over to I went over to Saint-Étienne, France, and I ended up staying there. And Carl Nix was playing there too, so. That was cool because I could hang out with him and his family. And I stayed there and played, and then I left Saint-Étienne, France, and then I went to Geneva, Switzerland. And so I stayed in Geneva for a year, played there, and that was real. All the places I went was a whole lot of fun. And so, we traveled all over Europe. So all the teams from the top of Switzerland to the bottom, all the German parts, all the French-speaking parts, and and Italian parts. Switzerland is divided up into three different speaking languages. So it was a great experience just to be able to go and enjoy all the mountains and the beautiful scenery and meet all the different people and the culture and the food and the different music. It was just a wonderful adventure.
What would you say?
I love it.
What would you say would be the biggest difference between that you saw, that you noticed between the American style of basketball versus the Euro style when you got over there?
It seemed a little bit faster. Why, I don't know. It just seemed a little faster in the what do you call it? It's been so long. The 3-second lane is wider. A whole lot wider in this shape difference. So posting up and high post and low post is different. But other than that, it's basically just going out and playing basketball, having fun. And so also when I was there, it was more playing for survival because the team that I joined, they was at the bottom. And you know how they have two leagues in Switzerland, the A League and the B League. So the team I went to, they was at the bottom. And so it was just, you know, with the struggle because if it was the bottom of the A League and they was getting ready to get forced out to the B League and they didn't want to do that. So then that's how they got me to help them come up to the top of the league. And it's hard because you're the only American on your team, and so you like they're all trying to guard you. And so yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it's different because, like I said, you expected to go there and help them win, and the coach will tell you to shoot, and your teammates want you to pass them the ball, and they're yelling at you, pass me the ball, and I'm like, okay, I want to, but coach wants me to catch the score up, so you know, you got that little conflict there, and it's kind of funny. And then at that time. The European players, they was not getting paid and the Americans were. So there's a little conflict with that, being that we were getting paid and it was kind of like a wreck for them, a recreational league. But then as time went on, like I said, sponsorships started taking care of everything and they started getting paid. So it worked out.
Okay.
Now I got to ask you, because I know you're a fan of today's game. And how it's, you know what I'm saying, in like 2 years' time, it's not overnight, it's jumped from, you know what I'm saying, year we had WNBA finals and it was celebrated to like this year. So kind of just give me us your thoughts on the like comet rise of women's basketball as it is, you know, so still internationally and with the WNBA.
Yes. Well, I don't have much to say about it because I think that, well, see, I've been watching the Storm for a decade. So up here, it has always been a big market for basketball. And so what the people see in Indiana and East Coast, those teams over there, the growth is just now starting to come. We already had that. You know, we've been going to the games, and the games been packed. You know, we have our four championships, and you go to the games, and it's just a great time. And so with that being said, other teams now catching up with the younger players coming in and showing that, yeah, they can play ball, but they could play ball anyway. It's just people didn't see it. And now we have the new rookies coming in, showcasing themselves, and they're getting the NIL money. And it's just making things grow so fast. And I think it's a great thing that women have finally, you know, the women's sports have started to arrive to the point where they can fill the stadium. You know, people want to watch them. And then, like I said, they say a lot of stuff about the gender and all that stuff. When you read the comments on the comments on social media can be so harsh for them, you know. And I was like, and it's mostly the people that they don't even watch it. They see bits and pieces, and they make they, you know, whatever they think about girls or the women or how they carry themselves or what they do on their free time. So, to me, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's like, can you play ball? That's all that matters. And so, with that being said, we witnessed this when we just saw New York and Minnesota, right? This whole season, we know that. The crowd's there, the money's there, the sponsorship is there. It just takes time because we're women. And Jonathan, what you talking about, Alabama? Missouri gonna sneak up and beat them.
Oh man!
Hey, there you go.
Man.
That's what I'm saying.
Gonna be a shock.
I've liked and picked Missouri on last two seasons. Because they've kind of turned the program around. This season's been somewhat of a, you know what I'm saying? You know, we report us around here. We don't necessarily report with fandom, unless you're talking about Brandon, you know what I'm saying? He won't let Purdue go. Purdue football, basketball. He won't put
Purdue
out there. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. You know what I'm saying? I got a good friend. You know, so we both of us have a good friend and coaches for Purdue. So. I'm like, nah, man, I don't know. I'm not. It should be a close game.
He's still caught up on. He's hated Missouri ever since they left the Big 12 for the SEC. That's his big holdup.
Oh, actually, this is true. This is the truth.
I am. I know you.
But why was he mad?
Just because I like natural rivalries. Yeah, traditional. I like natural rivalries. When you play the team, you can play for 100 years. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it means a whole lot to those teams when you know what I mean. But you know, Missouri has made its mark in the SEC. But you know, Alabama is in the crosshairs, and they really need to win. So you know, it's gonna be a good game though.
Well, I hope it's not this weekend.
I did read. I know, right? Exactly. So I read, and I love the evolution, like now kind of how the spotlight's finally getting on the WNBA, the rating, like you talked about, the ratings, the revenue coming in, the charter flights are starting to come to something. They obviously need to change the playoff format to where it's not travel friendly anymore. It needs to be back to the 2-2-1-1-1 style. But now today in Sports Illustrated, they said there's a new women's basketball league. And they're going to try to lure Caitlin Clark with, like, Lionel Messi-like an offer for, like, ownership to this league to, like, have a startup league that kind of in the off season of the WNBA. Do you kind of like that with them starting kind of a second league? It's kind of like almost like Ice Cube's Big Three, but that was always retired players and stuff. But I think anytime you can put another sport out there and try to draw eyes, especially with women's sports like this – personally, I think it could be something to see. They're trying to do their inaugural season that would be starting this January.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess it depends who's going. They're going to get paid, and if they're going to receive anyway, playing. So,
John, you there?
Why not?
Yeah, sir.
You know, I guess why
I'm
not?
Here.
Debbie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I lose everybody?
I'm
no,
here.
Man,
I can
hear you.
I think I lost Brad, everybody.
Can hear you.
Hello, hello.
Hello, we're here. We're here. Mizzou, Mizzou, Mizzou.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Oh, can you hear me now? Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, cool.
I don't know what happened to – okay, now I can hear you guys. I don't know. I was talking about that inaugural league. I didn't know what your guys' thoughts were on that.
I don't think if you're going overseas to play in your off season and you can stay at home and play, why not? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then also, isn't it there – there's a women's three-on-three supposed to be starting up too with Breonna Stewart and a couple of the players from Minnesota. So I don't know. It's expanding, so – at least you can stay at home if you want to and play, you know?
John?
Deb, I didn't want to – like I said, we are kind of pressed for time. I do appreciate you calling. We're going to get you back on, if not to talk a little bit more about football. Because, like, Brandon, she talks, she does know all sports, man. My friend, ain't you been at a Whalers game? The hockey team up there?
Yeah.
You been picked up with the –
yeah,
man.
The Kraken, not the Whalers. Come on, man.
It's the Kraken. It ain't the Whalers. Shame on me. I done got in trouble.
So, yeah, Seattle is a great place for sports. It really, really, really is. We have a win or lose, you got support. So if we can just get our fans back, we'll be all right.
Well, that's what we need to talk about. Next time you come on, we're going to be talking Sonics for sure. And then we're talking some football. So, like I said, we are pressed for time. I do appreciate you sharing your time and some of your story and your appreciation for the growth of the game with us.
And thank you, guys. It's a pleasure. Anytime, all right?
Thanks, Debbie.
Absolutely.
Have a good one.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, John. Great conversation there with Debbie Walker, Hall of Famer Debbie Walker.
Yep.
Great to have her on, pick her brain a little bit. Like you said, we'll definitely get her on again. John, I don't have anything else. Do you you want to wrap us up?
No, man. It's been a great show, man. I want to say thank you to Tanner for calling in with his picks, man. I want to say thank you, Debbie Walker, Hall of Famer, two times, man. Check her out. check her work, man. She's got a lot of YouTube tape out there, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Any young lady trying to make it to the next level, man, check her tape for sure, man. Want to thank her for taking her time dipping in with us. We got a new friend in the program, y'all. I want to say thank you, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, for being our number one sponsor at the Crossroads Sports Show, man. How can we do the Crossroads Sports Show without them? Want to say thank you to everybody trying to chime in. I see the comment section here on the Facebook Live, man. If you didn't, I know we couldn't call, everybody couldn't call in today, man. We had too many people call in to the show. But if you ain't, at least on the Facebook Live, you know what I'm saying, Crossroads Sports, man. Come on, man. Get your act together, man. Every Wednesday we're out here, you know what I'm saying, between 7 and 8:30, man. You know what I'm saying? And in between time. You know what I'm saying, if you don't find yourself, you know what I'm saying, on a Wednesday night, you can check us out. You know what I'm saying, Brandon Reed, he's on the Twitters. He's on the Threads. You know, so am I, Three Foolishmen. I'm on the Twitters. I'm on the Threads. Instagram, Crossroads Sports. You can always check for us there, man. We talk sports. We share content. We share... You know what I'm saying? Nobody's putting nobody down. If you say the Pittsburgh Steelers stink, you better have some data to back it up. But we'll chop it up with you, man. If you say, you know what I'm saying, this is the worst idea I've ever heard, like, then Dockets, we'll chop it up. You know what I'm saying? But, like, nah, man, we are a feel-good show. You know what I'm saying? With a lot of feel-good moments. Tonight was one of them, man. With that being said, that's Brandon Reek. I'm John DeBurse.
Thanks for listening, John.
Everybody,
I got one last thing
sports.
Real quick.
Oh,
sorry.
We're supposed to do the wrestling segments, but we'll do that next week.
We're supposed to do the what? Oh, the doubler?
But we'll do that. We'll worry about it next week.
Gotcha. My one question, came across my Twitter feed to ask. And thoughts, and we've talked NIL a lot. We've talked evolution of recruiting and stuff in college basketball. Earlier this week, Tony Bennett retired abruptly and said that it's changed from – what college basketball was, that he feels like he can't do it anymore. We've seen other coaches retire a little early. Him, Jay Wright, I mean, you could say Coach K, but some of these guys have stepped away from the college game. What was your thoughts on Tony Bennett's situation, stepping away from Virginia? Because now it sounds like Ed Cooley might be going over there.
Yeah, and Ed Cooley was kind of, you know what I'm saying, he kind of being boisterous about his opinion too, man, about Pittsburgh too. But, you know, that's totally different. I never really talk about coaches leaving. It is, man. Coaches leaving programs and kids leaving programs, I don't care what you say. At this point in the game, I think it's a little different. Kids now are just running away from either A, coaching, this is true, or yep. BYU offer a kid $100,000 more, right, from Purdue. Hey, Purdue, they're coming out and gonna play. You see what I'm saying? We're going back and forth. You either run away from the coaching or you're running for a bag. You know what I'm saying? So it's like some coaches don't want to deal with that. Especially if the kid, like, I still gotta develop you. This kid, like, all right, I don't wanna go down one whole brand, I know we got time, but so like, man, I can't, if you are a great prospect, maybe to the NBA, like if Arizona wants to pay you $900,000, don't blow your fans. Don't blow your nose. Listen, I offered you $600. Like, what do you want to do? I'm not going to play this game, man. This is not, you know what I'm saying, free agency market where this is Charlotte Hornets fight for, you know what I'm saying, right? So I think he doesn't want to be a part of that, but that's kind of what the temperature is, man. You know, so for a program like his, for traditional, that's not going to swing for this, not going to be like Kentucky or Arkansas where they just go swing for the fences every year because it is what it is. You know what I'm saying, but for him, like, I don't know Painter ever. I don't think Painter kind of goes to it. Painter has a thumb hold on it, right? And they have a system that works for them, and they got players that they know they're not going to super max out on anybody. But like for him, he's tired of dealing with it. I don't blame him.
So, all right, that's all I really had for the Tony Bennett thing. It came up my feed, and then there's to talk about who going there. He addressed the rumors today, saying that he's not going anywhere, which means that he will probably be going to somewhere. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Continue the conversation on Twitter, on Facebook, on Threads. That's Jonathan Birdsong. I'm Brandon Reif. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.
Spring will be here before we know it. An Invisible Fence brand doesn't want you to find yourself gearing up while everyone else is already enjoying the warm weather. Give your dog the freedom and confidence they deserve now with an Invisible Fence system. Invisible Fence works in any weather, giving you confidence in your pet's safety at all times. Our pet professionals are experts at customizing solutions to your yard, your needs, and your dog's wants. Let us help you take full advantage of springtime when it's here. Spring into action and visit InvisibleFence.com to learn more about what sets us apart.
Introducing Instagram Teen Accounts, a new way to keep your teen safer as they grow, like making sure they always have their seatbelt on.
All right, buckle up. Good job.
New Instagram Teen Accounts, automatic protections for who can contact your teen and the content they can see.